You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Really amazing. Literally every region of the world has gotten worse under Joe Biden. And weakness and appeasement from the disastrous surrender in Afghanistan to the Taliban, to the war in Ukraine, to the disaster. We just saw a hard leftist anti-American, Petro, elected in Colombia. We're seeing major allies of America moving away from us and moving towards Russia, moving towards China, moving towards Cuba, moving towards Venezuela. And all Biden can do is double down on undermining our national security.
He is right on point. That is Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, and pointing out the obvious. Everything Biden touches is not the Midas touch. It doesn't turn to gold. It quickly begins to rust and ends up being a pile of, well, let's just call it manure. Our inflation, the U.S. economy overall, his foreign policy efforts. What you just heard from Senator Ted Cruz then in describing what Biden is doing, of course, he's wrapping up now this trip to Israel and then also went to East Jerusalem to visit with the PLO without the Israelis alongside with him, would not even fly the Israeli flag on his limo as he went over to that side, and, of course, continues to push for the Iran deal, and yet at the same time claims that, well, if Iran builds a nuclear weapon, we'll have to deal with them with force. Blah, 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 blah. That's like telling your kid, you do that again, I'm going to give you a spanking. Or you do it one more time, third time, fourth time. They all know he's all mouth and no action. No one fears him. The Israelis fawned over him, actually. I was surprised at that. We're going to get a reaction to how the Israeli trip did or did not go a little bit later from Rabbi Menken. He's the director with the Coalition for Jewish Values. That is the largest rabbinic organization in the U.S. And before the trip itself, Rabbi Menken had put out a column, an opinion piece of what he hoped would happen and what should happen. Now, I want to know now if he thought any of it was accomplished and what was good, what was bad, and what was absolutely ugly when it came to Biden dealing with the Israelis. And, of course, going then to Saudi Arabia to beg for oil. Oh, another point here. When the White House announced the trip, said because of COVID-19 precautions, the president will not be shaking hands with anyone. Well, he did shake hands with former Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel. And I don't know how many other hands he shook, but I want to contrast that with what he just did when he arrived in Saudi Arabia to meet the Crown Prince. You know what he did with him? A fist bump. Wonder what the Crown Prince thought of that. At least he didn't bow down, not fully. But he knows, Biden knows that the Saudis have him over a barrel, literally. And that's why he's there. Why else would he go there? Well, partly to try to amend relations that his administration has fouled up repeatedly. He's the one who called them a pariah, since they apparently were linked to the murder of the journalist Khashoggi. But yet, despite calling them a pariah, he shows up trying to make friends. And then we also have the effects upon our domestic economy. You know how bad it is with your personal wages, your gas prices, everything else. Amazon, big businesses are having problems. They're having layoffs. They're dropping brands. What's the future of small business in the midst of all of this? They're the backbone of our nation. Small business, mom and pop stores, and then a little bit bigger, but not near as big as Amazon and so forth. Small business, their forecast, well, Douglas Blair is going to join us. He's with Heritage Foundation and Daily Signal contributor, dealing with a new survey of small business. In the midst of all of this, by the way, the Seattle police has finally understood that, you know, or at least the government has understood, we need more police, not fewer. Rude awakening for the woke crowd. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof. Plus, quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I trust the American people, and I think the American people have figured things out. I don't consider myself an expert in too many things, if any, but I know how to read a poll. And a majority of Americans... to them, the president is about as popular as cholera. And the American people didn't just reach this conclusion this morning. They have reasons for believing that. Number one, a majority of Americans don't believe that President Biden is in charge. They think the president is not the president. They think that the real president is whoever controls the teleprompter. Number two, fair or unfair? A majority of Americans think that President Biden is too old. They think he's kind of like an old Buick. You know, some days he starts and other days he doesn't.
You got to appreciate it. That's Senator John Kennedy, Republican of Louisiana. Homies, fun, homespun humor. And if you were watching... which you can do right now because we're live streaming at rumble.com. You probably saw some of my reaction, and I don't hold back. I mean, it's not like being a news anchor anymore. I can do whatever I want, but we're live streaming at rumble.com right now, and you can see and join us here in studio, and I will let you know by my reaction when a sound bite is playing exactly what I think of it. If you're just listening, you just have to wait until we wrap it up to get my understanding of it and my thoughts. But, again, we are live streaming at rumble.com. Simply go to rumble.com, insert in the search engine one word, Larry Connors USA. That'll take you to our Rumble page. See past Rumbles if you missed one. And join us live. And don't forget, you can always subscribe. Get it sent to your email directly. It won't cost you a dime. Same thing for getting previous programs on our podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com. Subscribe. No cost. We'll just send it to your email. You won't miss anything. But here was Senator Kennedy pointing out the very obvious. A lot of folks think, we'll use his analogy again. Biden's kind of like an old Buick. Sometimes it'll start and some days it won't. And he also said it seems like we don't know who's running the White House anymore. Is it Biden? Is it the guys pulling the strings? Or is it the teleprompter operator? Because without a teleprompter, Biden is totally lost. Even with notes in front of him, he gets lost. We've seen so many cases like that. And then the other point being, some just, while they might not like to say it, he's just too old for the job. It's a demanding job. And if he's having trouble already, be it the early onset of dementia, Alzheimer's, or just like all of us, as we get older, we tend to let a few gears slip here and there. I would be the first to admit I do. But running the country and the responsibility that comes with it and the things you have to keep in control. And it's not just Republicans. When John Kennedy, Senator of Louisiana, says most Americans, he's not just talking about Republicans. He's talking about independents, which are a key factor. He's also talking about many Democrats. A million plus Democrats at last report, a million plus Democrats have re-registered as Republicans. Now, maybe some of them did going into primaries because they wanted to support a Republican candidate, and in that particular state, if they were going to vote Republican, they had to list as Republican. It may be some of that. You have to keep that in mind. But I think if you want some expert opinion on it, look at Democrat strategist Paul Begala. Paul Begala, one of the gurus they go to often for information about where the Democrat Party is headed, what it needs to be doing, and what's good and what's bad about Biden. Begala said, Biden is kind of like that guy in the old country song. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. In other words, Begala wants to blame, as Biden has, everything that's gone wrong on Russia invading Ukraine. But we all know gas prices were changing and inflation was starting before Russia actually invaded. They've just gotten worse. But the other thing that concerns a lot of folks, and you know it because you watch some of these cabinet appointments that are failing to do their basic job, Mayorkas being a key one. Our border is fully open, and his attitude is just fine. His J-O-B is to protect and secure our border, protect the security of this nation, as is Biden's job. Mayorkas is just basically abandoning the border. They're now authorizing Border Patrol agents to take migrants who come into the U.S. who claim they're pregnant, they want an abortion, to take them to a state where they can get an abortion. That's right. We're going to pay to ferry them wherever they need to go, where they can get an abortion. And many of them might have gotten pregnant because they were held by cartel members until they were brought to this country and they were raped repeatedly. And that's just one example of the staff around Biden. And that's something else John Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, zeroed in on. Look at the people Biden has around him.
A majority of Americans think that the people that President Biden has appointed to run his government are deeply weird. And they are. Many of these appointees, they curl up in a protective ball if you use the wrong pronoun. They pride themselves on not prosecuting criminals. Their executive skills extend no further than ordering a pizza.
That's pretty direct, isn't it? And the New York Times even has joined the list of those. As I said, it's not just Republicans, conservatives, Trumpers, whatever you want to call them, and independents that say this is a failure all the way around. Now you're seeing the New York Times and other liberal outlets begin to pile on. The New York Times poll the other day that I told you about beginning of this week, showing Biden facing an alarming level of doubt from inside his own party. 64% of Democrat voters say they would prefer someone else in the 2024 presidential campaign. In other words, Senator Kennedy says all of this shows that Biden has been exposed.
A majority of Americans believe that he has mismanaged Congress, he's mismanaged COVID, he's mismanaged the border, he's mismanaged immigration, he's mismanaged crime, he's mismanaged America's energy independence, he's mismanaged Afghanistan, he's mismanaged the economy, and he's mismanaged inflation. Inflation is waterboarding the American people. People are scared they're not going to be able to retire until they're 92. Their 401ks have crashed. And it doesn't give me joy to say this, but the American people figure it out sooner or later, and that's why at the moment the creepy banjo kid in Deliverance is more popular than the president at the moment. And he better reverse direction soon. It's hurting America and it's hurting him.
You remember that banjo kid in Deliverance if you saw the movie? Dum, 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 dum. I mean, it's pretty creepy, all right. Now, you could, of course, dispute anything you choose against what Senator Kennedy said, but he's right on target of not just Republicans and conservatives and independents, but even Democrats acknowledging all this. Biden is going to, at last report, still insists, I'm going to run again. I'm going to run again. In this survey, 94%, and again, this is a New York Times survey, 94% of Democrats under the age of 30 said they would prefer a different presidential nominee. Now, I told you earlier, 64% overall want someone younger. But, of course, when they also say, do you want Biden or Trump, Biden wins by about 4%. That's not a commanding margin, obviously. But we don't know what's going to happen come 2024. The focus needs to be right now 2022. And the reason we need that focus is because we need to look at what's going to happen if we do not do as we should. If there is not a red tsunami to take over the House, to actually have full control of the House and get Ding Dong, the Wicked Witch is dead, Nancy Pelosi out of the way, and the other Democrats and the progressives and the green pie in the sky and the rest of the woke culture, if we don't get them out of the way, we are basically dooming this country. So you got to make sure you plan, you and your family and your friends, everyone that says we need to make sure we get some stability back to this nation to vote come November. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted that the Democrats are going to lose. You got to make sure that those you believe support the patriotism of this country and the things that are good and right and transsexual teaching to children and racial stereotyping to children is not right in any book, at anywhere, at any time, unless you live in the liberal fantasy land. You got to puncture that balloon right now in 2022. And then when you do, we might actually begin to find out some things behind the scenes that have been hidden and remain hidden as I speak. One of them, of course, dealing with Hunter Biden, President Biden's son, and it is the opinion of Congressman Jim Jordan and others, Jim Jordan, a Republican of Ohio, that Hunter Biden is a security risk. Why?
Well, I think you start with 150 suspicious activity reports. Now understand, that's not one. This is according to news reports. That's not one. That's not two. It's 150. The vast, vast, vast majority of Americans never have one. But you have the former vice president's son with 150. Now the current president's son with 150 of these reports. And the Treasury Department tells Republicans, oh, you're not allowed to see him, even though that's been the practice in the past. So I think that in and of itself tells you something's going on here. And understand what these are. These are transactions in the banking world where they're concerned about the amount, they're concerned about the number, they're concerned about who may be involved, the name of a person, are they some kind of threat concern? So there's 150 of those. That's the concern I think so many have. And that's coupled, of course, with what we knew back during the campaign with the laptop and 10% with for the big guy and all those stories that we've heard over the last 2 years.
Yeah, that finally, the New York Times acknowledged. Let's take Congressman Jordan a step farther, and that is to the extent that is, if we're talking about Hunter Biden being a risk, that means Daddy Biden could also be a security risk.
We know we got millions from Russia. We know we got millions from companies connected to the Chinese Communist Party. We know he got millions from Burisma and energy companies in Ukraine. So he got money from all three of those sources. So we'll see that. That will be a conference decision. If, in fact, the American people put us back in charge and we get the chance to then have a majority in the House of Representatives, I do think it's critical that we do the investigations on the key subjects so the American people get the facts. It's part of our constitutional duty. So they get the truth.
We owe
it to them.
Do you think he's affecting White House policy, the Biden family deal-making?
Well, look what happened just a few weeks ago. Joe Biden takes oil, barrels of oil from the Strategic Reserve, sells it to China, and the company involved in that sale is a company that Hunter Biden used to have a financial interest in. He may still have. So that just happened a few weeks ago. So obviously there are concerns that are raised. All the more reason why we need to get to the bottom of this.
And the only way we're going to do that is to win the House and have a full investigation and win the Senate in 2022. And speaking about oil and where it's going, of course, we have Biden going to Saudi Arabia. Why would he go to Saudi Arabia when he called them a pariah? Because he's begging for oil.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Let's be honest. The only reason President Biden is going to Saudi Arabia is to beg for them to produce more oil. What does that mean? Because he stopped it in America. And when he stopped it in America from his very first day, what that meant was American jobs were lost. We're going to pay more for gasoline. But it goes more than just to gasoline. It goes into our asphalt, into the buttons in our shirts, into our phones. It's almost in everything that we produce. But this is what started the rise in inflation. He travels all the way to Saudi Arabia to beg them to go against everything he said in a campaign simply because his policies from day one have denied America to be energy independent, to have American jobs, and to be more environmentally sound. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And again, those are the remarks of Congressman McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy of California, Republican. We're going to Saudi Arabia to beg for oil. And the other point being, the oil we're getting from other countries aside from Saudi Arabia is dirtier in the process of drilling than refining than anywhere else in the world compared to the U.S. So what is it? Is it really about climate change and concern there or control? This takes us back to the whole issue of vaccinations, doesn't it? I hate to admit it, but it does in a way because we were told, oh, you got to do it, you got to do it. And my advice to you was you confer with your doctor and you make a decision. And now the courts are beginning to come around and agree that, yeah, you can't lay off all these people just because they don't want to get that particular vaccine, when it's still classified as experimental. And let me remind you of something. Dr. Rubin, who was on the advisory committee to the FDA, and during a hearing about COVID vaccine in children ages 5 to 11, now it's approved all the way down to 5 months. And he's talking about when it was approved for children 5 to 11, he said, we're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it. That's just the way it goes. The hell it is. But this whole administration is, you know, this is what we say you need to do. And if it's bad for big oil companies right now, and it is, and not getting easier, Amazon is sending out thousands of layoff notices. Then there are also disciplinary notices for other small infractions, just trying to get rid of other employees. And then look at one of the big companies, and that would be Starbucks, which is a big Democrat donor based in Seattle, of course, in a blue city, blue state, pushing that all this time, while Starbucks now announcing store closures in four Democrat-run states and the District of Columbia. Starbucks closing these 16 stores because of safety concerns for workers. Too much violence and drug use on the premises and around the area. The CEO of Starbucks said, we need to change things. America, quote, and I'm quoting here, is now unsafe. Well, you're living in a blue city, blue states. You donate to those who are crying out for defund police. And now you're seeing the repercussions. We're going to get into this story a little bit more before we wrap up today's program on about how all this defunding police is finally coming home to roost, as they would say. And it's going to be reflected in our midterm elections coming up. But if the big companies are suffering, be they oil, be they Amazon, be they Starbucks, what about the smaller businesses? Mom and pop, or even those in between? What's going on with them? We'll get into that also in the next hour. But back to the visit of going to Saudi Arabia, begging for oil. We're not going to forget that story either. Coming up in the next segment, however, what are we seeing for small business in the future with the Biden White House operating at full power, or at least what we are told is on the best track? Douglas Blair from the Daily Signal and the Heritage Foundation will join us.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden costs. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around. Said I don't want to leave you lonely. You gotta make me change my mind.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, we're in the process of trying to establish communications with Doug Blair with the Heritage Foundation and also the Daily Signal contributor and the podcast host for the Daily Signal. There's a new report I want to discuss with him that came out by the Job Creators Network Foundation. Now, this report finds that more than 2 out of 3 small businesses feel, this is the way it's written, feel negatively about the economy. I want to correct that right there. I'm sorry. I cannot let something like that go by with the years and decades I've spent in the news business of letting someone say these businesses feel. They don't feel. Feel is what you would touch and feel in that sense, or you have an emotion. They might well have an emotion as well, but it's really their opinion. So I will rewrite it for them on the fly here. And that is, the Job Creators Network Foundation finds that more than 2 out of 3 small businesses think negatively about the economy, and that nearly three out of four of them will have to significantly raise prices to offset rising inflation. And the concern is, how many of them are going to still exist when it's all said and done? Douglas Blair with the Heritage Foundation and Daily Signal joining us. Doug, welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Larry.
So looking at this poll, and you took a closer look at and diving into it, it seems that the inflation, obviously, and that should be a statement that shouldn't have to be emphasized, but obviously are concerned about inflation and its ripple effects. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I don't think it's controversial to say in the slightest that our small businesses here in America are the lifeblood of the country. This country was built by entrepreneurs who wanted to build a better life for themselves and start a business. And the Biden administration's policies right now are just completely throttling their ability to do business. I mean, this report from the Job Creators Network is indicating that vast majorities of small business owners don't feel like they're able to continue doing this. As you mentioned early on, that this is something that they're going to have to raise prices, which is going to impact consumers. Some people are just not going to be able to survive this inflation and will have to go out of business. It's just a mess and a disaster, and it's squarely at the feet of the Biden administration.
Well, before you join us in our prior segment, we were talking about, one, of course, Biden having to go to Saudi Arabia to beg for oil when we've got it right here under our feet. And the other thing being how Amazon is already laying off a lot of people. Some of the big companies are facing more layoffs. And those who are earning are being put under more scrutiny. They're going to have to do more and more with less money and less let me put it this way. Their wages may go up, but if the inflation's outrunning their wages, it means nothing. If the country is built, in my opinion, on the back of mom-and-pop small business, and if we wipe those out, Amazon, the rest of them might as well close up.
Right, and I find it deeply ironic, too, that the same administration that claims to care about these small businesses in the face of billionaires and millionaires like Jeff Bezos is instituting these policies that serve only to benefit the Bezoses of the world, right? We hear repeatedly about how a $15 federal minimum wage to be instituted while completely ignoring the fact that small businesses just can't afford to do that and that that's not conducive to a lot of small towns that just cannot pay their workers that much to do that. Additionally, all of these things that are considered to be good for the planet, good for green energy, or forcing businesses to do these things are going to hit small businesses a lot harder than they're going to hit the larger ones. So again, we see that these things are happening specifically because the Biden administration is making decisions that are hurting small business owners. And small business owners aren't buying this narrative, by the way, that it's something to blame other than the administration. It's not Putin's fault. It's not, you know, the gas station's fault. It's not anybody else's fault but the Biden administration. And this polling data indicates that Americans, especially small business owners, are recognizing that.
Let's put this in, against the perspective, though, that jump back 20 plus years ago, when giants like Walmart and so forth would open up in small communities, small businesses were just shut down. They had to. I remember walking into a hardware store and every third aisle had lights on because they're trying to conserve and save money at that point. So that was the issue of enterprise, private enterprise, and survival of the fittest to that extent. That's tough. That's tough on that extent, but it's one thing that you actually survive big businesses coming in and the big chain blocks and so forth, and now you got to compete against a government that's going to try to crush you with higher taxes and everything else and see if you can crawl out under that rock.
Right, and survival of the fittest is what capitalism is all about, right? The idea that if you don't provide the good service, you don't provide the right pricing, then you will be beaten out. But again, you're right. How do you compete against the government? If the government is the thing that's intentionally trying to squash you, then it's impossible to fight back because the government is such a juggernaut that it's really like a small mom and pop shop in the middle of Kansas just cannot even hope to do it. So again, what we are hoping from this piece, and a lot of Americans will start to recognize, is that if you want your small business, the business that you've known for generations, that's been there since you can remember down the road, if you want that to still be there, you need to tell the government to back off. You need to encourage your lawmakers and your members of Congress, representatives, to tell the Biden administration to stop and to stop raising taxes.
You need people in Congress that will put a stop to it, not just tell them,
exactly.
but they will do it. Now, the Job Creators Network, again, is in this poll, found that 72% of small business, the majority, let me put it this way, majority of small business owners disagree with the administration's push to eliminate domestic production of oil and natural gas. 4 in 5, 80% said they favor increasing domestic energy production because they know that all ties to their final product being sold in their store.
Absolutely. And Larry, that's such a great point to bring up because, again, this is something that the Biden administration will continuously claim, that Americans are in favor of divesting from domestic oil and natural gas production, that they want to be, you know, more reliant on green energy. But that's just not true. As you mentioned before, people are wanting overwhelmingly to have these energy productions still in place. 80%. That's more than that's 4/5 of Americans want to have more domestic energy production. And the Biden administration is going to push solar and wind. That's ridiculous. We've already seen the consequences of how that works. Spoiler alert, it doesn't work. And Americans are suffering for it.
And in fact, I'll tell the audience now that in the next segment, I'm going to tell you about the debacle of solar panels they're seeing in California right now. But a lot of what we hear from the green pie in the sky folks is that everything will be better if we rely strictly on solar and wind and maybe some nuclear energy. We don't need all the oil and gas, and yet everything they've got in their home, take their car away from them. Everybody is given a free Tesla. Yeah, that'll be the next thing. But then you take that away. What are you going to do for the wheels, the tires? How are you going to get that? How are you going to get the plastics in your home and everything else you have in your house if you do away with the fossil fuel industry?
Larry, I want to double down on that too as well, because spoiler, we are going to be releasing a piece on the Daily Signal today about what these policies, these green, you know, we're going to get everything environmentally friendly policies have done abroad. Sri Lanka,
yeah.
I don't know if your listeners have heard of this. I pointed out yesterday.
They can't, the fertilizer, and they rely on farming in that community, plus their tea production. All of it's down because of the price of fertilizer.
Exactly. Do we want that in America? Of course not. But that is the direction we're going. Economic pain is one thing, but if you can't eat, if you can't feed your citizenry, that's a big problem. And the small businesses are starting to experience that idea that, like, they can't survive under this regime. If this administration continues with its policies, a lot of these small businesses will be forced out. They will not be able to compete against the boot of government.
And, of course, when they go, there go some of those jobs. Now,
exactly.
Right now, the administration philosophy, as opposed to using our oil, go elsewhere. And also, when it comes to we'll tax the big corporations more because they're gouging you, and we'll get the money for you that way. We'll send you relief checks so you don't need to go to work. I mean, in other words, they don't really care if Americans are working or not. They'd much rather you be beholden to the state. And I'll give you 30 seconds on that.
Exactly. No, this is the thing that the Biden administration and the radical left want. They want you to rely on government. As Reagan used to say, you know, the scariest words in the English language are, I'm from the government, I'm here to help.
Yeah.
And the Biden administration has taken that as a mantra. They want to force people to rely on government. Small business owners don't believe it. They're clearly pushing back on it as this poll demonstrates. And I think we'll start to see a lot more resistance from small business owners from here on out.
I appreciate you giving us a heads up on breaking with us on Larry Connors USA about what's going to be on Daily Signal later in more detail about what's happening in Sri Lanka. It's a fascinating story and a scary one for the U.S.
Absolutely. I encourage your listeners to check it out.
All right. Thank you very much. Douglas Blair with the Daily Signal, also with the Heritage Foundation. We talked about that yesterday, folks, Sri Lanka, how they were, you know, the president left, the premier left. They're all resigning because they're being overthrown. The people are not, quote, fed up. Their stomachs are empty. That's why their revolution is underway. And you end up with that here in this country? Look at Sri Lanka. Follow that article. Coming up, the solar panel debacle.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, Streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Oh, you might be ready for some tequila after I finish this story, which, by the way, our border continues to be wide open. Hundreds of kids coming across now, and who knows how many of them have been kidnapped or taken from other families to pose as a family unit with singles coming across so they get a better chance of getting into the country. And the Biden administration just continues to look away. And, of course, we had the story the other day about a 10-year-old girl that supposedly had been raped and needed an abortion. And she was raped by an illegal from Guatemala, according to the DNA. We're going to spend more time on that at the end of the next hour because that's where we focused on it yesterday. And I want to make sure I hit that same audience. There's some new developments on that story. But the bottom line is, if that guy had not been inside this country, we know this for fact, he would not have been raping that 10-year-old. Someone else might have, but not him. And we also know that many women and young girls and even young boys are raped and molested by the cartels as they're being brought up to come across our border. And, of course, one place for them to go is right into California because it's a sanctuary state, you know. They're not going to bother doing anything with you and get past the Border Patrol down there. In Texas, they'll still try. But in California, they're just not going to bother. Just like all the other debacles in that state. And the L.A. Times is even calling out how bad it is for the state of California on environmental concerns. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. More. We must. What are they building? A new refinery? Oil refinery? Are they fracking? Are they doing more drilling and oil? No. I mean, what are they doing? What is this environmental concern? Solar panels. The article from the LA Times says California has been a pioneer in pushing for rooftop solar power, building up the largest solar market in the U.S. More than 20 years and 1.3 million rooftops later, the bill is coming due. The Times reporting that many of these solar panels purchased beginning in 2006 when the California government gave all kinds of subsidies to homeowners. If you put a solar panel on your house, we'll give you some subsidy, get you off of fossil fuel. Well, those solar panels are now reaching the end of their lifespan. So now, that's a 25-year lifespan, basically. What are they going to do with them? This is a concern because if you put them in landfills, the components that contain, according to the LA Times again, toxic heavy metals such as cadmium, and selenium can contaminate groundwater. Now, we all know that. You don't have to be a scientist to understand that kind of stuff in your groundwater is not good if it's going to end up in your drinking supply. But the Times reports that as California, and I'm reading directly from them, as California barreled ahead on its renewable energy program, focusing on rebates and more recently a proposed solar tax, questions about how to handle the toxic waste that would accrue years later were never fully addressed. Just like what we're doing now with the Biden administration. Everybody should walk away from oil and gas and the cars and the drilling and everything and go full solar, full wind, even though sometimes the wind doesn't blow enough to turn the solar blades and generate power. Sometimes you have cloudy, rainy days. You don't get the solar built up you need. And the LA Times is pointing out when it's all said and done, even if you do all of that, you still are going to have a climate issue. What are you going to do about these solar panels now that they're basically used up. And apparently, as we all certainly know, it's not just going to be a California problem. Nationwide, 140,000 panels are installed every day in the U.S. And the solar industry expected to quadruple in size between 2020 and 2030. It all sounds good, doesn't it? Well, we'll save on electricity, we'll do this, we'll do that. That's good. But no one thought ahead or decided we'll just deal with it when we come to that bump in the road, knowing what's in these solar panels, how we're going to get rid of them. I thought the Democrats had this all figured out, at least the far leftist Democrats. Good, true-thinking, common-sense Democrats, and they do exist. A lot of them have been hijacked and shoved into the corner or said or told, keep your mouth shut or we'll label you a bigot. They could see what was going to be happening. But it's kind of like sometimes maybe your parents told you in the past. Nothing good happens after midnight. You're out after midnight and sure enough something bad happens to you. There's some things in life that just really don't change. One of them is that parents are usually smarter than what kids think they are. And we're all smarter than what the far left thinks we are. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to focus more on the begging for oil in Saudi Arabia and what damage has Biden done to national security.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.